Well, good evening, Kairos. How are we doing tonight? Yeah. Three of you, we can do better than that. All right, how are we doing tonight? Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. My name is Mike. I'm the Kairos pastor, and it is a privilege to be here with every single one of you. Tonight's a special night. We're doing something different. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Tonight, we are kicking off a vision series. We're going to be talking about what it means to be Kairos, what it means to be a people on mission together for the gospel. And we're doing this vision series a little bit different tonight because what I've found about vision is that we need to know where we've been in order to know where we're going to go. We need to know where we've been in order to know where we need to go. So in my hand, I've got something called an astrolabe, okay? This is a nautical astrolabe. It's an old school GPS. In fact, I think we have a picture of it. See, there you go. And this is what people used to use to navigate the ocean before there was such a thing as a GPS system. You'd have to sight this little telescope piece right here. I don't know if you can even see this. It's so small. But you'd have to sight this at the North Star, and then you could figure out where you were. Because if you didn't know where you were, you couldn't know where to go. And that's the fundamental principle of navigation. You have to know where you are, where you've been, in order to know where you're going to go. And tonight, we're going to be talking about where we've been. You're going to hear some stories about what Kairos has meant to this community and who we are as a people. And we're going to talk a little bit about what God has already done at Kairos. Did you know that Kairos has been operating as a ministry for over 17 years in this city? And almost everybody under the age of 40 in Nashville has walked through these doors at some point. It has changed a generation. And knowing this gives us an idea of what God wants to do in us next. Knowing our story and who we are changes us as people. When I was, a couple years ago, I was invited to a gathering of my extended family, the Brubakers. It's my grandfather's maternal side. And what I found out when I went to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is that my family had been in Pennsylvania, in that community, for over 300 years. And most of them followed Jesus. And in that season of life, they invited me to come preach at the church that my ancestors founded, where my family had been worshiping for over 300 years. And in that moment, I realized that I'm not all that, that God has been telling a story for generations through my family. And in these moments where we realize that God has been doing stuff in those who've come before us, we realize that we're not people who are filling people's shoes. We're not people who are stepping out in our own strength, but we're simply standing on the shoulders of giants. And that's what we get to do tonight. And my hope is that this story that we're going to hear tonight will inspire you to be somebody who makes a difference in your generation and the one to come. So I'm going to invite some very special friends tonight. I'm going to invite Mike Glenn, who's our senior pastor here at Brentwood Baptist. Come on up, Mike. Mike's been serving as senior pastor for over 30 years here at Brentwood Baptist. This is his 30th year. Anywhere you want. This is your house. You have a seat right here. Mike Boggs, our worship leader, he's been serving every single Sunday or Tuesday night that we've had Kairos. He's been our worship leader here at Kairos. And then I'm going to invite some others who've been a big part of our story. Chris Brooks, our last Kairos pastor. You guys all love Chris. It's good to have you here, brother. Aaron Bryant, who was our first Kairos pastor. Come on up, Aaron. He's currently our Ab South pastor here at Brentwood Baptist. Kathy Patterson, who's our first Kairos minister. Kathy, come on up. Kairos is not what it is without you, Kathy. Paige Roper, come on up. Meredith Wheatley, these are some of the key voices. Come on up. Meredith, why don't you come on up? And am I missing anybody? I feel like I'm blanking on somebody. Oh, Lee Marie, come on up, Lee Marie. Lee Marie, come on up. Lee Marie was one of the faces of Kairos when we first got started. So everybody kind of get settled down and comfortable. There's a lot of history here. And these people have been the faces and the leadership of Kairos. And before we do anything else, can you guys just thank them for everything they've done? We would not be here without them. Thank you for taking time to spend these minutes with us and share your stories and your heart with us. I'm going to start out by asking Pastor Mike Glenn about the early days at Kairos and what captured your heart as we got started in this ministry.
I remember that far back. we had just moved into this building. So it'd be, 2004 when we started? Wasn't it like something like that? The reason I'm looking at Kathy, Kathy was my executive assistant then. And Lee Marie and a bunch of your friends took me to lunch. And gave me this massive PowerPoint presentation about how they wanted to have a young adult worship experience for Nashville like they were having in other major cities. And they were so impressive, and, you know, I met Lee Marie when she was a senior in high school. A lot of the other guys on that team I had known ever since I had been here, and now they were in jobs and positions and, you know, all famous and all that around Nashville. And so they said, would you help us do this? And I said, well, I don't have time to do it. I'll help you get it started. And 11 years later, I was still part of Cairo, so. And we started with 30 or 40 in Wilson Hall, and gradually, and then one night we came back. We used to take summer off, and then our college kids got mad at us because they said we hear about Cairo the whole time we're at college. We come home and then you're off, so. They vetoed, so then we had to go all summer, too. And one night we showed up, and 500 people showed up. And we didn't know where they had come from. We didn't know why. And from then, it was overwhelming what happened in that. We filled up Wilson Hall, changed this building so it could host Hudson Hall. And I moved over here, and the rest y'all have been part of, so.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's funny how just small steps of obedience can lead you to a place where God can use you. Lee Marie, what was your recollection of that conversation, that lunch?
It was we were doing Sunday night church at that time.
Yeah.
Here at Brentwood. Not we, but the church had Sunday night services, something we haven't done in a while. And Mike stopped me in the sanctuary, this is the way I remember it, and said, hey, we're thinking about stopping Sunday night service, but I think there's something different that we need to be doing. And I was like, I know just the thing. I just talked to this guy, and he had a great idea for things that they were doing in other metropolitan areas and other big cities, but Nashville at that time, 17 years ago, was not the Nashville that it is today. And it was just one of those moments where it was like, you need to meet Sean, and we need to go to lunch and talk about it. And from that, it was like laying tracks as we were going.
Yeah, right.
That's cool.
And Mike never told us no. Really, Kathy never told us no.
We had no budget for Kairos.
Yeah, we didn't have a budget.
So Kairos had nothing.
We just
did it. Okay, so it wasn't we had a big planning or anything, and you know, and we had voted on Kairos, and it just happened.
Yeah.
So if we needed lights,
we prayed a lot.
We prayed, and then lights would appear.
We needed a drum set. We prayed for a drum set, and it was there.
Rumor was we can't prove this, okay, but rumor was if you laid it down, Kathy picked it up. Lights, microphones, sound systems, set pieces. Yep. It may have been part of your ministry 3 weeks ago, but if you put it in a closet somewhere, it would probably reappear at Kairos.
We would put wheels on it and roll it out.
I mean, there was no money.
Yeah. See, that's the interesting thing about Kairos is that you had a dream and you had a vision and you said, there's nothing that's going to stop us from following God in this.
I wish we could tell you that we had a dream. We were literally responding Tuesday by Tuesday. And we didn't ever know when the Tuesday was that they were not going to show back up, because there was nothing to compel them to be here on a Tuesday night. There was you were never a member of Kairos. They just showed up and kept showing up. And then there was 200. Okay, we had to have more tables. We had more. Michael would say, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we had a cello player? Well, yeah, but what does that mean? Well, we need a different kind of mic or whatever. Then we'd go find that, you know, and it was literally Tuesday by Tuesday. And you guys at Kairos are notorious for getting here at 2 minutes after. So we would walk in at Hudson Hall or Wilson Hall at 7 o'clock, and there wouldn't be anybody in there. We'd say, well, this is the night they told us to shut it down. And then by the second song, we'd be packed.
Yeah, please don't do that anymore, by the way. It's like that's every ministry leader's worst nightmare.
Yeah,
it's like,
I mean,
no
it,
one's
it
coming.
Freaky.
We're all here by ourselves.
Yeah.
So I actually going on this idea of you guys like basically like stealing things from the church to fund ministry. I heard, Kathy, you went and raided every closet for candles. Can you tell us that story?
We raided every closet for everything.
Yeah.
We literally put it together with duct tape and wheels on everything. We would roll it in, roll it out. But we needed candles on the table in order to create this environment that we were looking for, but we had no budget. And I had already used as much of Mike's budget as I could. And we had a prayer team, and we met, and we prayed about those candles specifically. We had a picture, we knew what we wanted, and we just cried out and said, Lord, we need these candles. Lee Marie called me that night after she got home. I'm gonna cry. She was like screaming in the phone. I'm like, calm down.
We had a picture of a candle.
We had a picture. It was very specific. And she had an ad in her mailbox of the exact candle on sale in our budget.
That's awesome.
She and I got up the next morning at 6 o'clock
in the pouring rain
and drove to Murfreesboro to buy every single one they had for those. But the point of it was that everything we did, we based in prayer. Mm-hmm. We started, my favorite memory is our retreat that we went on. We had done a spring and Lee Marie and a couple came to me and said, hey, would you go on a retreat with us? We need an adult, which those of you know me, that's kind of funny that I would be the adult. But we went on that retreat and we prayed and we worshiped. We talked, we prayed, we did worship, and we talked. And out of that came the vision and the clarity of what Kairos needed to look like when we came back in the fall. So we spent that fall creating what God had given us that weekend. So yeah, he forgave me for all the things I had stolen, and he generously, out of his amazing abundance, provided funding. We had people who started giving to us so we could have a sound system in Wilson Hall. We fed them every week. We had Chick-fil-A. The Brentwood Chick-fil-A worked a deal with us so that we could just give them away. We had a donate jar out there, but hey, if you can
Brooks
give,
is like, that's not
give.
Coming back. So don't nobody get too excited.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting really jealous.
If you can give, give. But I had so many young adults come back and give me money later on that said, Miss Kathy, I need to give you this money because I took Chick-fil-A home because I didn't have food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go back and give you that money. So out of his abundance and faithfulness, God continued to provide. And eventually, we got a budget.
It's interesting enough, Kathy came back from that retreat and came into my office and sat down. She said, I need to tell you that something happened. And from this moment on, whatever Kairos needs from me, they will get. and I lost an administrative assistant.
Yeah.
Out of that, but she became kind of the glue that held everything together. But it was that way, and when the young adults started coming, our greatest cheerleaders in the Brentwood Church were grandparents. Who would stand up at a church meeting and say, I don't know what's going on at Kairos. I know how my grandson has changed. I know how my granddaughter has changed. So whatever they need, I move, we give it to them.
Yeah.
And if anybody said anything about Kairos, it's too loud, it's too whatever, the grandparents would defend us. The senior adults of the church would defend us. Yeah. And that's the way we got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because they were defending us. The thing that happened for me, some of you have heard this story. We were doing a thing through Ephesians because Kairos told me, read it to me, tell me what it means, tell me how I do it. Because we've never heard this before, never heard the Bible before. I mean, it was strictly Bible teaching. And we were in Ephesians, where it says, honor your parents, and the guy right in front of me says, I can't do that. And we talked about it a little bit. He stood up. We're talking in the middle of Kairos. And he said, I will never honor that son of a Baptist. Except he didn't say Baptist. And I'm thinking, I wasn't in class when they told me what to do when somebody stands up in church and cusses. I don't know what to do. So I looked at him, I said, come back next week, we're going to talk about when fathers disappoint you and moms let you down. The only thing I knew is I needed 1 week, but I didn't have anything for him. And we did a thing, and we ended up with this where we put couches all over Wilson Hall, and we said, we gave them cards, and we said, we want you to write your dads. I said, I don't care if you write, I don't want to hate you anymore. And so they were all over, they were laying on the floor, they would write, they would put their heads down and cry. That was the night we did the Lord's Supper with the rocks, and the rocks, you go get the rocks for your burden, you come to the table, and you lay your burdens down.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the sight of that table covered with rocks that night. Oh, it still brings tears to my eyes just to think about it. One lady waited till she was last to talk to me. And she sat down and she handed me a blank piece of paper. And she said, my dad started abusing me when I was 7 years old. What do I write? I walked out of Wilson Hall that night toward my car, and I was putting one foot in front of the other, and I was telling myself, get to your car. Just get to your car. You can fall apart when you get to your car. I got in the car and I put my head on my steering wheel and I said, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do Kairos. But if you will tell me, if you will show me, I will die trying, I promise. Kairos saved my life. You're going to talk about all the lives out here that were changed. Mine was probably the biggest one that was changed. About what happens when you let the word do what the word does. And you drop all of the church stuff and all the church politics and all of that, and you just let the word do what the word does. There was more authentic life change, there was more miracles that I saw and witnessed up close and personal at Kairos than anywhere else that I've ever been. I'm talking about people getting off drugs. All that kind of stuff was happening week and after week after week at Kairos. So the big thing I would want to say to Kairos is thank you, because I was one of the first ones saved out of this ministry.
When we were talking and we're developing our friendship, that's the thing you told me, that Kairos changed and saved your life.
Yeah.
And I believe that. And I see your love for this ministry and for every soul that is in this room. And we feel the same way about you. Kairos exists for the glory of God, but it changes all of our lives. And it's in moments like this that we realize, like, hey, it's not just coming on Sunday night. That's not just the event. The event is what God wants to do within us when we're here. And it's beautiful to see just the stories of lives changed. So thank you so much for sharing that. Those are powerful stories. What I hear as a theme over and over again are people saying, God, I'll do whatever it takes. Whatever it costs, I will do it. Even if I have to die trying, I want to make a difference in people's lives. And that's the heartbeat of Kairos. I want to meet people where they are and see their lives change forever. Now, I think it'd be good for us to ask a couple of the others who've been here early on. I want to ask Aaron Bryant. Aaron, you are our first Kairos pastor. You were recruited by Mike to come help build some structure internally. And so why don't you tell us some of your favorite stories of Kairos, some of the things you saw as you built our discipleship structure and as you created our discipleship ministry here at Kairos. Because at first it was just a Bible study.
Yeah, the first thing I think of when you ask me that question is when I came on the team, Mike was the teaching pastor. It's a consistent voice week in and week out. And as I came on as the Kairos pastor, it was evident to me he was sharing leadership, not only with the team, but I was there because he was sharing ministry with other ministers on staff. And I think that's been some of the secret sauce. These ladies in front of us, all of us on the stage, we've been tremendously blessed because the Lord has encouraged us to give ministry away. And so when you think about it, Mike has often said, you know, the first Reformation, you know, gave the Bible back to the people, but the second will give ministry back to the people. And so to watch the people serving and greeting. I got an email today from somebody that walked into one of our campuses and people made him feel so welcome. It was the first time he's been in church in a decade. And she said, I don't know if you realize how big that is, but just tell the greeters and people thank you. Like that was the story of what was happening here week in and week out. And you know, whether it's that or the ministry and the mission, sharing and empowering and giving it away is some of that secret sauce that I'm just grateful to have been a part of. When you ask about the discipleship structures, you know, one of the first staff meetings, I just simply said, I want to be your advocate. I want to be an encourager. How can I help? And so I think when you look at, you know, Mike said there was so much happening every Tuesday. I mean, there was something spirit-led that was stirring up in here on Tuesday. How do you then help people? You know, there's 167 other hours in the week. So how do you help them live out what's happening in here and not leave it in this room? So I was just grateful to be a part of how we thought through how to encourage people to be disciples who then go and help others become disciples. And, you know, Interstate 440 has been under construction and they just finished it and we're so grateful for that, right? But one of the things I saw day after day driving in was that crushed gravel. For weeks, almost a month, it was just crushed gravel. And we don't see that now that it's paved and finished. But if you don't have the crushed gravel, you can't have a sturdy foundation to drive on for decades. So when I came on the team, there was so much crushed gravel already laid that I was just blessed and ministered to come along and lock arms with these men and women. And hopefully what we did, I think about when I hear stories about Bible reading groups and people reading the word and falling in love with scripture again, hopefully that's because of some of the crushed gravel we were fortunate to scatter. But that's what gets me excited about this room. You are laying a foundation of crushed gravel for what God's going to pave in the future. That's what gets me excited about the kingdom potential in this room.
You know, something's really interesting. I didn't have this planned when we were thinking through tonight, but Kairos, I don't know if you know this, but your impact as a ministry has resonated throughout the city. One of the things that Brentwood Baptist is passionate about is seeing 100 healthy churches in Middle Tennessee. And years ago, we sent out Aaron from this ministry to go plant the Ave South campus, and a lot of Kairos's best and brightest went with him.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And it was
Mike's made sure to let me know that as well.
Yeah. So. But it was just a powerful reminder of what Kairos can do. We were able to help start a church in Nashville because of it. And when our Nolensville location got launched several years ago, we sent out a bunch more of our best and brightest. And it's my hope that we can continue to see leaders rise up out of this group that will say, we want to make a difference in the lostness of our city, and we want to see churches rise up, and it's our turn now. That would be wonderful to see churches come from Kairos, because we've already been doing it. Some of you in this room might start a church that's part of those 100 healthy churches. Mm-hmm. Some of you might be on those launch teams. Some of you might shake the foundations of hell itself because you're willing to say, yes, whatever God calls me to do, I'll do it, even if I have to die trying. That's pretty awesome. Meredith, why don't you share a little bit of your story?
I have so many memories. When y'all even said just sharing some memories, my mind is just flooded with a million things. My husband did remind me that I should say one of my favorite things is that we got engaged on this stage right after Kairos.
That's right.
I'm so sorry that didn't come to mind.
Yeah.
But my life was dramatically impacted and changed from the beginning because I was just attending Kairos. I vividly remember coming to Kairos at a terrible time in life when I was just at rock bottom and being excited and inspired to read the word and to read my Bible. And I was like, something is just different here and I want to be a part of this. I met Kathy while I was working at a coffee shop and she said, why don't you just come volunteer and help? And that's when my life got completely changed. I will never look at candles the same way. I have set out and lit so many candles in Wilson Hall, in the hallways, on these stages, on these steps. Apologized to the custodial staff so many times for scraping wax off of all of these tables. So good job switching to battery. But there's so many memories of things we had to do just to get it done. But because I so personally was impacted as an attendee, and then getting to be a part of it and getting to spend hours backstage in the hallways, hauling snacks in, praying. We would pray over each chair Tuesday mornings. Come in here at the crack of dawn and pray over the chairs in expectation of what's going to happen tonight. I don't know. But as they've said, every week to week, we knew that something incredible was going to happen and that lives were going to be changed. And I knew that because my life had been changed by attending Kairos and then getting to just be with all of these people, be a part of it and watch it unfold, whether it was serving Coca-Cola for Lord's Supper, I think, one night because we ran out of juice.
Because you ran out of juice.
Yeah, we ran out of juice and we're like, we've got to still
serve. Didn't quite steal enough that week.
Nights of worship, just hours, bogs, like hours in here doing, creating sets, wanting to make the environment amazing for people when they would come in, and just watching it unfold for the seasons when it was packed and like the fire marshals, I think, were in here. And we were trying to set up different areas for anyone to be able to watch the service, but they wanted to be in here. They wanted to be a part of what was happening. I don't even know. I have so many incredible memories, but it's part of my story. And I have been so honored and impacted, getting to encourage people to serve, to be involved, to light candles, greet at the door. I loved being part of the greeter team and impacting, changing lives just by smiling at somebody who had the worst day ever, and they were just trying to make it to Kairos, just to get here, whether it was, they were 30 minutes late. It's like, doesn't matter, you made it here. It changed my life, and I still constantly, got engaged on the stage. But learning to read the Bible and want to be a part of this, it's changed my life, and I was just honored to watch everything that happened. Mm-hmm. I could talk about
for hours. A lot of the early artwork that you see from Kairos is Meredith.
That's awesome.
We had so much fun.
Yeah, t-shirt designs.
We had so much fun. We would just be in here for days and hours and wanting to make the environment.
Yeah, all of the series I did on the stained glass window.
Yeah.
You did the stained glass window that she put together every week. And it was impressive.
Cool. Chris Brooks.
Hi.
Hi. Someone pass Chris a mic. it's always dangerous passing the mic to a pastor, just for personal experience. But Chris, thank you for leading Kairos so well for the last 5 years. And we're grateful for you. For those that you don't, that may not know, Chris has gone on to plant a church. It's another church that's been planted out of Kairos, and it's here in town. And Chris, you've always had a heart for people who are feeling very distant from God, and you have a very tender heart towards people who are in the middle of a struggle. And so I think it'd be really great to hear from you, just some of your time here, some of the things that you see, and even calling us towards having a heart to do whatever God wants us to do.
Yeah. There's some huge stories, like you think about Madison, who was in a toxic and abusive relationship, found out she was pregnant as a teenager, and because of one of the Kairos attendees who's listening to us talking about having gospel conversations, as a vocal coach, she starts to share the gospel, makes a connection with this couple, and invites her to live with them, and bring the baby to term and help her raise it. And now she's out in Colorado working and has a baby. And in fact, I think that was the baby for the Christmas play 1 year. Like, how great is that? And it's just this wild and woolly story of redemption and just people who are full open to the gospel and the spirit and just seeing, I think my heart rejoices when you guys are the real heroes. We sing and we teach the Bible the best we can, but it's what happens outside these doors. That is what Kairos has always been about. Purim will tell you about, there's one guy came in one night, he's not a believer, and they asked him how the service went, and he says, it was like a rock concert I could have gone to sleep to. I thought it was like perfect description. Yeah, I don't know if that's offensive, but I thought it was funny.
Bogs off words later.
It's great, yeah. The greatest uplifting music you can fall asleep to. But Purdom got to lead him to Christ, and then a group of guys wound up letting him live with him because he had some roommate situations, and just that nitty-gritty kingdom living, let's advance it, here's a new believer, let's find a place for him to stay. And I think to echo what Meredith said, the real here is watching you guys show up week after week, knowing the week you've had. Mm. And sometimes when I talk and pray with people and I hear their stories, I'm like, I can't believe you're here. I think you have more faith than I do. Yeah. To believe and hope in the goodness of God to heal, restore, and redeem. And to show up week after week, and it's those little bitty, microscopic steps of obedience to be faithful to God, to know that it's going to have an effect. You just may not see it right away. That's, I think, what gets my heart the happiest.
Man, it's...
And one more thing. There's a lot of people here who go unsung, like techs, volunteers, all those guys. I want to thank them. But I think there's somebody in the room that hasn't gotten their proper due. And if it's okay, I'd like to acknowledge them.
Sure.
It's the bleachers. I'd just like to thank them for being the greatest idea that never worked. For needing a special Allen wrench. Yeah. For hiring some guy from Pennsylvania who's probably one of your ancestors while you're talking so you didn't hear that. So, and then my favorite memory of Kairos is just whenever the cell phone was going to drop in the middle of the time when you felt the Holy Spirit just poked his head in the room and then he left because of your cell phone. Thank you. Now Paige.
Yeah. Paige. So you were one of the faces of Kairos early on. People like
she was the mascot.
She's the mascot.
She was the mascot of Kairos.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment.
Paige is like, please no. But Paige, why don't you tell us some of your time, some of your stories. By the way,
oh my gosh!
Right on cue.
You were done.
It's still traumatizing.
You were done.
Still traumatizing.
Full disclosure, that was not a cell phone. It was a mic pack. But nonetheless.
This is great. I mean, this right here is what Kairos is the laughter and just the love and... this is really fun. I would say, Mike, you said that Kairos changed you, and I will tell you, yes, for all of us, I know Kairos has changed us, but you changed me. You not only were such a big influence in my life, and I was telling the girls earlier, like, Kairos was the best season. The seasons come and go, and Kairos has been the best season I think I've ever had. Mm. But one thing that you did for me is that you not only shared your wife and the boys, Chris and Craig, but you shared your mom and dad with us. And one of my favorite memories, we were in Wilson Hall, and we called Big John, or you did, and for his birthday, and you put him, you know, they had the cell phone, and he's just still talking, but you're trying to have, you know, church. And he just didn't want to get off the phone with you.
Couldn't get off the phone.
It was so cool just to laugh and to see a father and a son in a moment. We got to share that. Yeah. And then your mom, you know, Miss Barbara was just a blessing, and it's just been great that you got to share that, share them with us, and feel like part of a family. So,
which, by the way, if you guys noticed, we have an extra stool here tonight, and that stool is empty in honor of Miss Barbara, Mike's mom. Oh. And there's a picture of her. She played the piano here at Kairos for one of the evenings we had here, and she was Kairos' biggest fan. And she was here every night worshiping with us. And Mike, do you have anything you want to share about your experience?
She, we got her up here one night because the soundtrack of my life was her playing the piano. So I know all the gospel songs because that's what my mom played. And she, we brought her up here, and Michael was leading the band. So mom's playing, and Mike leans over and goes, "What key?" And my mom says, "I don't know." And Mike turns to the band and says, "Catcher." And that's the way it happened. Mom had dementia for the last 4 years of her life, and we moved her up here. And I would always go get her for Cairo. She would always be sitting out there having coffee and being the queen of the moment. And she thought all of you belonged to her. And so, that was a rich moment.
Yeah. It's a beautiful expression of what you were saying earlier. The biggest fans of Kairos have always been those who...
Yeah, the senior adults. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's a really powerful thing. I do believe Kairos really is for everybody. It's a collective effort.
Yeah. Boggs was a baby when Kairos started. he had just moved here.
Yeah.
And all the girls wanted to know who the guitar player was. Who the guitar player was dating, and he kept telling us he had a girlfriend back home, but we'd never seen her, so we didn't.
Here's Mr.
Wright. We didn't know about Keeley. Yeah. He kept talking about Keeley. We had never seen Keeley, and it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minister was leaving and Boggs was filling in, and we were just kept inviting people to come lead worship. Yeah. After every week we'd get together and be like, "What'd you think?" And you know, finally it was like, "The guy's right here. He's leading worship." Yeah. Right. Yeah. And he's been the most amazing, just the way he prepares your heart to hear the word of God every week. I'll be emotional about it. It's just, you never see him on the stage. You literally just are prepared for worship to meet Jesus because of the amount of prayer and time and preparation that he puts into it every week. His heart is so just, it's been the biggest thing I've missed to Clifton is this worship the way that you prepare us for it.
For those of you guys who don't know, Boggs has been leading worship from the very beginning. And I'll say this, Boggs is a worship leader in all caps. Like, there's worship leaders, yes. And then there's worship leaders. Mm-hmm. And there's a really big difference. And Boggs has both the heart and the talent. I just love coming to work because I get to work with this guy. And he's amazing. And so he's awesome. He shared a story with me before tonight, and I thought it was so good that I wanted him to share it with you because it captures the heart of Kairos and what God can do through people when they just say, "Let's get together and let's exalt Jesus, and let's be radical for Christ, and let's just give our lives away." And so, Box, will you share that story with us?
Yeah.
If your mic is on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it on? Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, I've been walking down memory lane all week this week, going through pictures, preparing for this service, and going through old pictures and videos and things. And I remembered this one particular story that was really meaningful. We were on the other side of this building in something called Wilson Hall, which probably some of you have never been in before. That's where Kairos originally was. And I remember hearing a story of a guy that wanted to invite some people to church. And so he's literally on the street corner, and he finds these three girls, and he says, "Would you guys want to come to church with me Tuesday night at 7 o'clock? Yeah. And their response to him was, and just brace yourself, their response to him was, "I would love to, but I don't think our pimp will let us go." And he says, he pauses for a minute, and he says to them, "What if I buy you for the night? Could I bring you to church then?" And she says, "I think that would work." And so he brings them to Kairos on a night where one of them gave their lives to the Lord. And they all got out of the line of work that they were doing through a series of events. God set them free. It was incredible. They kept showing up at Kairos. And I'm remembering that story this week. I'm on my way here today to church, and I live near downtown Franklin, and the Pilgrimage Festival is happening down there, so all the traffic is rerouted basically away from downtown Franklin. I'm driving here, and I realize, oh no, I'm in the traffic that's getting rerouted, and so I'm going through streets in downtown Franklin I've never been down before in my life, and one of the ladies that was there that night was riding her bike down the street
today,
on my way here. And I'm upset because I'm about to be late to church. And the Lord is saying, "I'm doing something else to remind you of my goodness, not just to you, but to everybody." And so I just sort of been hanging my hat on this thought this week that I think we'd be more faithful if we weren't so forgetful. And maybe one of the ways that that applies to you is the blessings that God has given you in your life and your family and your friends, recounting those time and time again is not just healthy, but it's also helpful for building your faith and your faithfulness. God has done those things in your life too. So I've been one, asking myself two questions even this week, or two statements that I wrote down in my journal. One, each of you are sitting in the answered prayer of these people on this stage. You're able to be in this room and have this moment because of the prayers of previous generations of leadership at this church. And two, I've been wondering which ones of you will be on this stage next time we do this.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
Because I think there are several of you in this room that God has gifted for a specific time and place, and maybe that's Kairos, maybe it's other places in Nashville you don't even know yet, or maybe around the world that you can't see yet. But God has gifted you a spot and a talent that you will contribute to the kingdom. And the folks on this stage, for many years, among other things, it was Kairos. But I just wonder, I've been praying this week, like, I wonder which one of you will be up here that we'll be saying thank you to 5 years from now, 7 years from now.
It's amazing to leave a legacy behind, and the best legacy is people. And I believe that every single one of you has an opportunity to change someone else's life. Just like the story that Box has told, the stories we've heard tonight, it's simply choosing to love somebody and to take the time to invest your life into theirs. And we can all do that. Doesn't matter how much talent or how much money we have. Doesn't matter how well-known we are or how many Instagram followers we have. Every single one of us can choose to be Jesus Christ to somebody else, to be a conduit of the gospel. And I want you to just walk away with that reality. The vision that you hear being shared tonight is simply people are saying, "God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to invest my life in the life of the people around me. I'm going to invite people to Kairos. I'm going to serve because at the end, it's all worth it because people's lives are changed forever. And you can get in on that. You can get in on it. So tonight, we want to say thank you to them. We have some gifts for each one of these friends here. I want to make sure I don't drop my phone. Every single one of them is going to get one of these prints and a couple other things that are like Cairo swag. But we have a special one for our pastor, Mike Glenn. Just to say thank you. Mike, you've been serving here for 30 years, and 17 years ago, you took a chance on Kairos, and we're grateful. We're all here because of that decision. And so we want to say thank you to you and Jeannie, and we want to say thank you for being so generous with your time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
And your talents and your treasure. That's beautiful. So, thank you. As we go, one of the ways that you can say thank you to Pastor Mike and to those who are here tonight is by getting involved, by getting in a group, by being part of Kairos crew, by serving, by giving your life away, by being a missionary to your community, by being known by the people that you do life with. And so my encouragement for you is to do that, to say, I can be someone that can change somebody else's life by simply giving my life away. And like Bog said, I can't wait to see who's gonna rise up among us that will be on this stage the next time we do this. It'll be incredible to see you up here with us. And I believe that's something that God can do if you just say, God, I'm gonna do whatever you want me to do, regardless of what it costs, I'm in. Mm. Now, as we close, I wanna just give you guys a couple quick updates before we leave, just a few things that you need to know about before you go. First, on Tuesday night, we're going to be right back here in this room for a worship night. And as you know, our worship nights have been electric. The Spirit of God has shown up. And we're going to be right here on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And I encourage you to come and bring a friend because it's going to be a game changer. So make your plans now, 7 p.m. right here in this space. We're going to be focusing on victory, what it would look like if God had victory in our life. So we're going to be doing that. Make sure you're here. Secondly, we have Oreos for every single person as you leave. So if you like Oreos, it's Mike's favorite snack. And in honor of that, we just are giving you guys Oreos. So that's exciting, right? Everybody wasn't ready for that, but we have Oreos tonight. And then lastly, if you're not plugged in, we'd love to get you plugged in. Right through these doors, there's a station that we'd love to meet you. It's our connection station, and there's some of our ministers will be there, and we'd love for you to take a next step and say, hey, I want to be in on this. So as we go, let me just pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for being so good to us, for coming and living among us, living a perfect life, giving yourself for us so that we could have an eternal relationship with the Father. And so God, I pray that as we look towards what's next, as we look at what you're going to do through Kairos, as our very best days are still yet to come, God, I pray that you give us the courage to step into what you want for Kairos. That it's going to be all of us doing it, not just the staff or me as the pastor or Boggs as the worship leader, but that every single one of us has a part to play. So God, give us courage to step into your calling. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.